Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the road every Monday during the NFL season at Gillette Stadium, as we always are, it is a Patriots Monday, and we will be joined by Gerard Mayo here at Gillette Stadium at 9. Speaking of being on the road, I don't think I gave full details yet on the Flex Friday in Newport, Rhode Island.
Yep.
I haven't
given. You have not given it all.
2 weeks. 2 weeks from Friday, we will be in Newport for the Audrain Newport Concours and Motor Week, which is an unbelievable automobile event every single year in Newport. Wiggy, you love cars.
Yep.
This is right up your alley. We're going to do the show Friday, October 4th from the Audrain Automobile Museum in Newport. And Jay Leno is going to join us because he's a big car guy. So I hope you guys will come out. We'll go down there the night before. We'll do a pregame somewhere, maybe the landing or something like that, wherever Newport wants us. And I hope that you guys will all come out. There's a bunch of events that week, really cool car events. So if you're a car person like Wiggy, there's a link in my Instagram bio. Greg Hill, W-E-E-I, is my Instagram. And you can get a discount on tickets to go to all the events that are down there that week. So,
and good news, Ken has us, got us rooms in Springfield.
So. Oh, that's great. That's perfect.
And I believe we might be staying two nights.
Yes, I think maybe two nights in Newport. Beautiful place.
Very Love excited. Newport.
I really enjoyed Lake Winnipesaukee this weekend.
Looked lovely.
Yeah,
it looked nice.
I could be in on the lake life at some point.
Oh, okay.
I love Nantucket, but I like Newport. I like Winnipesaukee.
How did Bullet enjoy Winnipesaukee? That's all
it.
I care about.
Bullet loves being on boats. Good. There was a big, gigantic Great Dane dog, Rex, who we had some concern about how the two of them would interact. Fast friends at the end of the weekend. So, a lot of fun. Every time I'm there, I think of the great film On Golden Pond. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't remember
Never
that
Never even
one.
Heard of it.
Huh? Nope. What?
Never heard of that
Shine,
movie.
You ever watch On Golden Pond?
No, way to date yourself, old man.
I'm telling you, great
He's
movie.
Who's in that one?
It was Katharine Hepburn.
All right.
James Dean.
Marlon Brando.
I can't believe you guys have never watched On Golden Pond.
I've never even heard of it.
Have you seen the loons?
No.
Henry Fonda's in it.
Wow.
Oh, man.
The second most popular Fonda.
Who else is
Jane in it? Fonda's in it.
Jane Fonda's in it.
Jesus Christ himself. I think it was made in 2000. No, it was made in 19 summers at the New England vacation home on the shores of the idyllic Golden Pond.
Yeah.
Are Catherine and Audrey related?
Yes. Sisters, I believe.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Anyway, great time at Winnipesaukee. Great lake. You people have an unbelievable lake. Thanks for having me. And we got to get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me phasing. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, where should we start this morning, Sean?
Well, Greg, let's start where we've been talking about all morning, which is the New England Patriots. They unfortunately lost to the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. After the game, Gerard Mayo spoke, and he talked about needing to push the ball down the field in the passing game.
I'm not sure. You know, each team is going to try to attack us different ways. Well, we definitely have to start to get the ball down the field. We got to start pushing the ball down the field to get that shell defense, shell defense. And we got to be able to run. We got to be able to pass. We just got to go be able to ping pong between. It's something that we need to work on. That's what I would say.
So it was exactly a week ago where Gerard Mayo on this very show said, we are, don't get it wrong. We're going to be a run football team.
Yeah.
It seems like maybe they also need to be a pass football team.
Right.
He figured that out yesterday.
Right. I mean, you look at Baltimore.
If they run the ball on third and five instead of dropping back to pass and kick a field goal that's, you know, 10 yards shorter and they win the game, nobody's saying they have to stop running the ball.
No, but I don't think anybody's saying that. Like, Baltimore's a run-first team. Like, there's a difference between being a run-first team and still being able to pass the football longer than 10 yards. Like, those two can be true. Like, you are a run football team first. Like, you need to run the football. That's your identity. But you still got to be able to throw the football further than 10 yards where you have pass plays. The routes go deeper than 10 yards. Not having a guy catch the football, you know, on the line of scrimmage or 2 yards or 5 yards and then scampers for 30.
So do they not have the plays or do they not have the confidence in Jacoby Brissett throwing the football?
Well, I guess that's what we'll ask Mayo. I mean, I would think you'd have the plays. Like, you've been in the NFL for Alex Van Pelt's been in the league long enough. Just like Shime said, his dagger concept, like, that's something that everybody runs, but that's, you know, that's something that he probably knows. And I think it's more about you have the plays, but you don't have the confidence in the quarterback, because if you don't have the skill set to dial up deeper plays, there's no way you're an offensive coordinator in the NFL. So I don't think it's that. I think it's more of the, we don't have as much confidence in our quarterback to be able to throw the ball deeper downfield, or maybe we don't have enough confidence in the O-line that the play takes a little bit longer to protect them.
All right, what's next, Shime?
Next, let's go to a different team in the NFL, the game that I picked for the Survivor Pool. I picked the Colts over the Packers. Way wrong on that one. Swing and a miss. Packers got the win. But within the win, there was a moment where Malik Willis got a football that he did not want to throw for a reason you would not expect. Here was Coach Matt LaFleur after the game talking about that instance.
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that third down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center thrown up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that, because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's third down, and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
Oh, that's tough.
I saw that. I was like, whoa. That's why you got to practice with those wet footballs.
Oh.
I mean, all I thought about was Donovan McNabb in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right.
Booting on the field.
Wiggy, did guys throw up often?
Yeah, I think it just, there's been guys that have thrown up before. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast. If it's hot out there, or maybe you got some of your breakfast sitting on your belly, maybe you ate a little bit too much.
Or you let your night job affect your day job.
No, I don't really see that happening on a Saturday night before the game.
Right.
But, yeah, you've seen that. I've seen guys throw up on themselves, and I've seen guys,
on the field, though?
On the field, and I've seen have it come out the other end.
Oh, God, poop themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me a name of a player?
I ain't going to throw anybody under the bus, but believe me.
Do they go change after?
Yeah, when the game's over.
Oh, God.
They have the squeaky deekies.
Oh, my God.
So, like, somebody Uta Pepig themselves,
like,
in the middle of the football,
you know,
game.
What? My stomach is bubbling. Maybe I'll just let out a little bit of gas and guess what?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
All right, let's get there. People eating breakfast.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into the woods.
What's next? What's next, Shime?
God, I don't know how we pivot off that, but let's, over the weekend, there was a momentous moment for our station and for the Boston Red Sox, and that would be that Joe Castiglione, Hall of Fame broadcaster, officially announced his retirement from broadcasting. This was a little bit of Joe's announcement on the broadcast from this weekend.
Never thought this day would come. Certainly mixed emotions, but after 42 years and some 6,500 games, I think it's time to hang up the microphone, at least on a regular basis, announce the retirement here. It's something I never really thought I'd do, because usually in this industry you were told when to go. But in this case, everyone's been so kind and so understanding that I did bring this up to Sam Kennedy and Colin Birch of the Red Sox and Mike Thomas at Odyssey in the recent days. And they were very, very gracious in accepting my decision to retire for the most part, and also to do whatever I want to do. And I will continue with the Red Sox in an ambassador type role making appearances at the special events. You know, I've had so many great thrills here. So many great thrills. Met so many wonderful people. Certainly will miss the association with baseball people on a daily basis.
Well, it's a long time.
Yeah.
42 years, Curtis. You brought it up earlier. He's been doing that for 42 years, and he's one of the best ever, certainly.
Yeah. I mean, the moment that changed everything for me, when we talk about the Dave Roberts steal, but the Game 7, 04, a year after the Game 7 loss with the Boone home run, the Red Sox up 2-0, the Yankees take out Kevin Brown, Johnny Damon comes to the plate, hits the grand slam down the right field line, and that call and hearing that moment with Joe and just sort of the elation of like, oh my God, they're going to do it. And nobody, I mean, he was there in 86. He lived through all of that. He lived through the ups and the downs, and to have him very much still with it and got many years to go to be able to say on his own terms that this is the final year, it's, you know, it's a Hall of Fame career.
He was you talk about sure. a grinder. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, pretty amazing and certainly a great job. I would assume that there will be a lot of really, really good play-by-play people who will be interested in that job.
So. Syracuse just sent like 5 million applicants, and I have a show idea. Ken, I know you're listening. The worst reels, demos, we need to preview on the Greg Hill Show.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's sad to do to people that are
Whole Bay potato chips, got
one.
Those are going to be big shoes to fill, but I mean, when I heard 42 years, I'm like, Greg's not that far behind.
What do you mean? I have a lot of juice left.
You have a ton of juice. This is nothing about your juice.
Yeah,
this is just about years under your belt.
Well, yeah, I got a lot of time left.
But the biggest thing is not that he's not doing baseball games anymore. I mean, and the biggest thing is who are we going to get to now? No more rapping Joe?
Yeah,
I know. Joe Castiglione named that tune. We'll have to do it one more time before he goes.
We have to.
Do it one more time. But he is going to remain as an ambassador and be around and doing appearances and all those kinds of things. So that's great.
Good for him.
Yeah.
You noted earlier the amount of the generational changes we've had in broadcasters over the last years. You know, you lose Tommy, you lose Remy, Mike Gorman retires.
Jack Edwards.
Now, you know, Joe Castiglione. There's a huge, huge loss there.
But don't fear, Curtis. You can see me Thursday. I'll be slinging lunch meat at the Shaw's and Star Market in Shrewsbury. So I'll be there from noon to 2.
I got to tell you, the big loser is the produce at Shaw's because nobody's going to be able to sell those cantaloupes.
That's what he's going to be doing from here on out.
I got some autographed 8x10s in the trunk. And
mozzarella on top of the eggplant. Inside the eggplant is the ricotta.
And if you listen to the rest of the broadcast, he said his favorite moment wasn't the ALCS against the Yankees or the World Series against the Cardinals. It was commentating Bobes falling at Stats.
Oh, we should play that at some point today in honor of Joe. I mean, he's had some great moments. Falling out of the chair, one of the all-time greats.
All-timer.
One of the all-time greats.
He got it!
The Red Sox win.
The Red Sox win. I just went head over heels in my chair.
Joe just fell down.
All right. Anything else, Shine?
I have one more Red Sox-related cut for you here. Over the weekend, Devers got to face Gerrit Cole, or he was supposed to face Gerrit Cole. They hit him with a pitch and then intentionally walked him. Alex Cora was not happy about this and was asked if it was actually bad form by Gerrit Cole. Here was that answer from Cora.
Is that bad form, in your opinion?
A bad form off?
Is that bush league on their end?
I mean, we don't want to hit people on purpose, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get hurt, especially in the position they're in, right? I mean, they're 20-whatever games over. You know, we hit somebody and somebody gets hurt and put us in a bad spot. We want the best players to be playing every single day out there. I want Aaron Judge to be out there every single day, regardless of what he does against us. That's where our sport is at its best, you know. And Rafi got hit. You know, they can say whatever they want. And, you know, what the intentional walk was loud and clear. I don't want to face him. So the second pitch of the game against Rafi, you see it. You know, it was intentional. I'm not gonna back up. It was intentional.
I mean, Devers lives rent-free in his head. I mean, he's had way more success than anybody else when it comes to Gerrit Cole, so I guess.
But isn't in baseball you just don't throw at guys willy-nilly unless there's like a retaliation type thing, right? You hit one of ours, now we're going to hit one of yours?
I don't think the Red Sox are going to win the World Series, but I'm very confident in saying Gerrit Cole is not winning the World Series with the New York Yankees. There's something about his makeup. He's that home run he gave up against Bogarts in the one game playoff years ago. He just seems like a red ass.
Yeah. No, I think they're 4.5 out this morning, so short of a miracle.
Well, maybe this was Joe trying to get one last run. You know, maybe the team will be inspired.
Oh, they could do it for Joe.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think it's over.
Yeah, they could do it for Joe. All right, that's They Said It. A quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Coming up from Gillette Stadium, we will get to Courtney in today's news, and then Boomer Esiason will join us at 8. Speaking of Courtney, here she is right now with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. It took overtime, but the Pats fell to the Seahawks in the home opener yesterday. 23-20 was the final at Gillette. Jacoby Brissett finished the day completing 15 of 27 passes for 149 yards and a touchdown. Jalen Polk and Ramondre Stevenson came away with touchdowns in the loss. A lot of is being said about Jacoby Brissett not looking to his receivers in the loss at all. He took full responsibility for that after the game.
Yeah, obviously we would like more in our passing game. You know, I got to do a better job of getting a lot of those guys involved in the game plan and throughout the game. So I take responsibility for that.
We'll talk with Gerard Mayo this morning as well as Boomer Esiason. If you're following along, 2 weeks in and we have a winner in our Survivor pool. Congrats to Chicken Nick. Everybody on this show fell in week two.
I mean, how did the Ravens lose that game? I was worried about taking the Ravens at this point in the season because I wanted to save them for later.
Right. Or
too early, yeah.
A little bit of Minshew magic.
And Shime, who'd you end up taking?
I took the Colts because I just wanted to bet against Malik Willis, and Anthony Richardson crapped down his leg. That was not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, very sad.
Awful.
College football saw a close one between number 24 BC and number 6 Mizzou. Final score 27-21. And Wiggy's Georgia Bulldogs hang on to escape a massive upset with Kentucky. They win that one 13-12. Those games drop Georgia down from 1-2 and BC out of the top 25.
But BC did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, keep it close.
Keep it close. And now it looks like, you know, they're a team that is a legitimate team that can play with the big dogs, right? Mizzou was like, I think they were ranked number 6.
Number 6, yeah.
And then who BC got left on their schedule that's a ranked team? Isn't it Louisville?
Yeah, Louisville's right on there.
All right, so all you got to do is win.
They take on Miami this year?
No, Miami's
doing pretty well.
Right, so all you
national gotta, champs, some people say.
Yeah, all you got to do is be one of the top two teams in the ACC and play for the ACC championship.
Yep.
If you do that, you got a chance.
The Red Sox fell to the Yankees yesterday 5-2, losing that series 3-1. The guys are off today before taking on the Rays in Tampa Bay tomorrow. And the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away is going on now. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Beautiful day, 55 degrees right now, sunny, gorgeous this afternoon. As Shine would say, a crisp 81.
Last week of summer, Curtis, this is it.
The autumnal equinox is breathing down our neck.
Is Sunday the start of fall, the official start of fall?
I believe it is.
I think so.
And I think they already put out Christmas decorations at the local Walgreens.
All right, we're at Gillette Stadium on a Patriots Monday, and we're back with Courtney in today's news.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Next, it is a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and we'll be joined by Boomer Esiason coming up in about a half an hour at 8. Lot to talk to after week two in the NFL with Boomer, and then Gerard Mayo will join us here at 9 this morning, and a lot to talk to Gerard Mayo about as the New England Patriots get close, but cannot close it out and go to 2-0. So we will talk to Gerard about all of those things coming up. But right now, we should get to Courtney in today's news.
It's time for...
You know, we've come so far since my inauguration.
The news.
On that day, I told you, as I stood in that winter, we were stood in a winter of peril and winter of possibilities. Parallel possibilities.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
That if you get gum, I don't know if you can freeze it or get
how you make it hard.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with five locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
I will be hearing that for months and years.
On WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up when I walked away?
Well, the FBI says there was an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump yesterday while he was playing around at his golf club. The Secret Service agents, they opened fire on a man who was positioned 300 to 500 yards away from Trump, holding an AK-47. He seems to have poked it through the fencing that separated onto the golf course. Donald Trump has already gone on social media saying, before rumors start spiraling out of control, I wanted you to hear this first. I am safe and well. The man is in custody, and we can hear from Palm Beach County Sheriff Rick Bradshaw on CBS News.
In the bushes where this guy was is an AK-47 style rifle with a scope, two backpacks which were hung on the fence that had ceramic tile in them, and a GoPro.
That is where, no disrespect, but that's where people go if they want to do harm to Shime in the rough. Never near the fairway is where they go. But
man, that's crazy.
It's good that he's okay.
Yeah. They're saying that there's going to be much more security around him as we get closer to November.
I thought they said that last time.
Right. No.
The thing that I find most remarkable about this is the otherwise normal appearing people in our orbit that like celebrate this or say he deserves it, or like he forces people to lose their minds. And I like last night I watched the great Bengals Chiefs game, and 60 Minutes comes on. I'm a huge Dua Lipa fan, so I cannot wait. They should have done more promos for that. Yeah. But they do an entire segment on January 6th. Like, the president was just there was an attempted assassination of the former president for the second time in 60 days.
Yeah.
And they're doing this long form piece about the dangerous rhetoric on the right. Like, of course that exists.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The people that stormed the Capitol are sickos and they should be persecuted and prosecuted. But there is this aversion to accountability that when you call someone an existential threat to democracy,
right,
if you say he needs to be removed, then there are the logical conclusions, because not only have there been two assassination attempts of Trump, Brett Kavanaugh had an assassination attempt where a guy went to his house with a gun. Like, this is all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to blame, as some are, Donald Trump or J.D. Vance for bomb threats that were made to hospitals in Ohio, because of the discussion during the debate about migrant issues there, then you ought to turn around and blame those who are calling him a threat to democracy when something like this happens. But thank goodness that he's okay, you know. And
we live in banana land, don't
we? And Curtis brought this up after the last time there was, and he actually got hit. If something happens to him, the world we are going to wake up with the next day, no matter what side you're on, is going to be a very scary place. So nobody should be rooting for anybody to get killed in the beginning. But I'm saying, like, if Donald Trump is assassinated, things are going to be DEFCON.
DEFCON. But yes.
With an N, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But we were comm majors. So,
yeah.
But the other thing here is that the way it was initially reported was, oh, there were gunshots, but no issue, nothing related to the president. That lasted for an hour, which was obviously fabricated because it, of course, had to do with the president.
Yeah.
And you watch the way in which every story says apparent assassination attempt, FBI says. When it's a bomb threat to Springfield, Ohio, it's Trump causes bomb threat in Ohio. Like, it's the way in which they even write about this stuff.
Yeah, no, people are on edge. They are on edge.
Yes, they are.
What else?
Three people were rescued by firefighters from a burning building in Chelsea yesterday morning. Firefighters were able to rescue through a window on an upper floor and get the three to safety. All were treated for non-life-threatening injuries and are expected to be okay. We can hear from a spokesperson for the fire department speaking to WCVB.
They made an aggressive attack on that fire on the second floor. They advanced hose lines in. They were able to hold the fire there while the three occupants on the third floor were rescued over aerial ladder.
Where does that rank when it comes to your anxieties?
Is pretty that high.
Being trapped in a building high up that's on fire?
That's yeah. Terrifying. Especially living in an apartment complex. Like, we, if there was, God forbid, a fire and we were stuck up there, like, there's no fire escape.
Yeah.
I don't know what I do.
Yeah. You guys don't have a fire escape?
No.
Yes, oh, Alexa.
How many floors are in your building?
Four.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's a high four. Like, I've looked down and said, nope, wouldn't survive if I tried to just jump.
I'm guessing you'd probably throw Santo out first.
No.
And then, no,
you for sure not.
No,
you gotta get you
I'd go down with my husband and my child, Terry.
Get you one of those ladders that you hook to the window that goes all the way down to the ground.
I didn't know they made those.
Yeah,
they do.
Yeah, they're like all over. Like, you have it under your bed or whatever, if the, God forbid, if there is ever a fire, because you don't have
that's
a fire.
That's a great idea.
You don't have a fire escape, and you probably don't have a sprinkler system in your building. You hook it to the...
No, I think we have that.
Oh, you have a sprinkler system?
I think so, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Don't everyone have?
Yeah, you have to have a sprinkler system.
No, not like regular apartments don't have them.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
Curtis, you got a sprinkler system in your...
I don't think
so. No, not regular apartment. You, Greg, in your building, the building that I live in, we have them, but regular apartments like...
Well, I'm in a building.
I'm in a building, too, but I don't think my condo has...
All you got to do is you look up at the ceiling.
Yeah, we definitely have them.
I think you're thinking of the shower.
No. Nope.
So if you have a sprinkler system, then, you know, you should feel a little bit at ease that if there is a fire, that's what puts it out.
All right, that's good. Justin Timberlake addressed media after pleading guilty to driving while ability impaired on Friday to wrap up his driving while intoxicated case in the Hamptons. Let's hear what Justin Timberlake had to say to media members.
Even if you've had one drink, don't get behind the wheel of a car. There's so many alternatives. Call a friend. Take an Uber.
You are a multimillionaire, and you're going to stand up there after you did exactly that and then preach to everybody else about what not to do? Like, there's so many other options. Yeah, you had all of them at your fingertips. Like, I think he came across like such a douche during this press conference.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
I thought that was him just saying, hey, I screwed up. Don't
yeah,
do what
say I,
did. I
screwed up. But then, to the way in which he went about it, it was like, all right, we get it.
I don't understand, too, the one drink thing. Like, clearly you didn't have one drink.
No.
Like, what?
I mean, he obviously had a great lawyer, and he got it pled down from drunk driving to
ability impaired.
Impaired.
And a big donation to the police union.
And where he was, like, if you've ever been in this area, it literally, it butts the police department.
No
like,
way.
The two buildings are directly next to each other, basically touching. Crazy. An irrational fear in Washington after a river otter attacked a child at a Seattle area marina.
Oh, no way. Really?
Yes. No, this is scary.
I can't with this. That's disturbing. So the little kid was near a marina or something?
Yes, on a dock. The otter gets out, drags the child from the dock underwater. The mom jumps in, saves the child.
No mom.
And when they got back out of the water, the otter followed them to go after the child again.
It was an apparent otter attack.
The child is going to be okay. They are being treated for scratches and bites, but we can hear the reaction from an area resident now.
Take seriously wild animals. I mean, it's been in the news quite a bit. In Yellowstone and buffaloes, you don't get too close to a buffalo. So from now on, we'll know not to get too close to a river otter.
Bad PR for otters recently, too.
Yeah.
I just saw a photo of a bloodied woman after an otter attacked her.
No, that was it wasn't an otter. That was a roving pod of vicious, angry river otters, like 10 of them.
Oh.
If you're talking, it was like in Thailand or something.
Yeah.
Something is up in the ocean.
Yeah, something is up in the ocean. And
something
the river.
Is up in the ocean right now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If you, I don't know if Mitch has time or not, but there's video of that. There's like 12 of them that randomly attacked that woman while she was sitting near the river. It's terrifying.
Otters are some of my favorite animals.
They are.
And now I'm thinking, Santo and I almost went and swam with otters in Florida.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I don't think I'd do that.
They just look like beavers. I'm looking at pictures of them.
So cute.
They're longer than beavers. Not as fat.
There's a place in Florida that they have a pool of otters, and you can go in and swim with them.
Yeah. Jeez, I'm size shaming the animals.
I don't think I would do that if I were you.
Credit to the otters. Beavers are fat. It is what it is.
All right. Well, they were there first.
That is a drop.
All right, we got to take a break. We are at Gillette Stadium on Patriots Monday, and Boomer Esiason will join us in about 20 minutes at 8. We'll get to the rest of the news with Courtney next. Coming up at 8, Boomer Esiason on a Patriots loss in week 2 in overtime to the Seahawks, and on what is apparently Tua's decision to keep playing, and on what went on around the rest of the NFL. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8, and then Gerard Mayo will be here with us at Gillette Stadium at 9. But right now, back to Courtney and the rest of today's news.
We have a new inductee into the Pervert Teachers Association.
Jesus, haven't they taught you these things in school?
What things?
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
We were meant to be, I know it. How else could sex be that incredible?
Pervert Teachers Association.
That is appalling. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves.
The wedding is off for 24-year-old Wisconsin elementary school teacher Madison Bregman after she was arrested for allegedly making out with one of her 11-year-old students.
11?
Yep.
Yeah. What in the hell?
Yep, no. Just less than 3 months before her nuptials. The teacher got caught after the mother of her student heard them on the phone, then went through his phone and found text messages between the two. The dad printed out the conversations and stormed into the school. The texts include talking about different instances between the two during lunch hour or after school, and also her telling the child how much she enjoyed him touching her and making out.
Did one of the text messages read MDB in the cafeteria?
I'm sure that there were something like that.
My lord.
11 is like, disgusting.
What the
All of it is disgusting. I mean, 11?
If you're 16, it's wrong. If it's 11, you're evil.
Right.
Like, you are a predator.
Wow. Yeah. But the fiance making the right move, calling off the wedding from this woman.
I would hope so.
Is there any doubt that this isn't the first 11-year-old? Like, if you're willing to do that?
No, there's no way. There's no doubt that there was multiple.
And we've seen this before, like, in some of the text messages, she was like, oh, I have an 11-year-old niece, and I can't imagine an adult talking to her the way that you and I talk. It's like, well, okay, so you know that this is an issue.
Right.
The hell it's is so wrong weird. With all of us.
Yeah.
Her 11.
Yeah. Her lights ain't screwed all the way tight upstairs.
You're going after a prepubescent kid.
Disgusting.
God. Yep. All right. God. Well, good move by him canceling the wedding.
Correct.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
A DoorDash driver in Texas was shot by some men on horseback. Matthew was trying to make a Panera delivery in a remote area, says he was slowed down and then shot at by some guys riding horses. We can hear what Matthew had to say.
Not far down the road, I run into a long line of cars. It was clear to me they were looking to start trouble. It was a game to them. One of them dismounts off their horse. Another rider got to my right and blocked me off. And then the guy who gets off in front of me said he was going to pop my right here. That's when I hear, like, basically it sounded like an explosion. I didn't even understand the night when the cop that found the bullet was like, you're really lucky.
I have to say the Panera invention of the half soup, half sandwich. You pick two.
Pretty good.
I mean, really almost good. As good as the microwave in terms of invention.
Pretty good, Panera.
So would they have been, is this like a technology thing? Would they have been okay if he were delivering on horseback? Is it like an issue they have with the automobile or?
Maybe, like, but or they're just playing a game, like you said, that they're just shooting at people while on horses.
Scary.
Yeah, okay. Very scary.
I don't know if I want to be involved in that game.
No. Speaking of Panera, an assault happened at one in Colorado last Tuesday when a customer started a brawl and an employee took it upon herself to stop it. Mitch has the video of this going down. She took a pizza paddle and started beating one of the guys over the head. The guy took off before cops were able to arrive.
Uh-huh.
We can hear the audio of this going down.
Hey, come on, throw up.
Jeez,
yeah.
What? We are so doomed.
Yeah.
Like, you said DEFCON 1. We are at DEFCON 6,000.
People in their food, man.
Yeah.
God in heaven.
What was the original fight about?
I mean, you I'm know? Guessing.
Well,
know,
a
maybe...
woman is creating chaos.
But she, Greg,
she was
you
like
would
throwing
agree.
Napkin holders and stuff.
Yeah, but we're wondering why. I'm guessing her food came out cold. Maybe,
as a society, we are zero to nut job in the fastest time in human history.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like one
zero
little thing,
real quick.
Like, you know, everybody's fine boarding. One right. guy cuts in line
That's
and you get
it.
A Donnybrook.
That is it. Damn.
God in heaven.
Yep.
Just want to have a nice soup.
I don't feel like the pizza paddle was as effective as I thought it would have been. But it may be the woman who was wielding it. Like, she was, she was not really...
Well, she had to be careful. Her employee was behind the guy and had him in a red naked chokehold, so you don't want to friendly fire.
The New York Times has a story on this. It was an apparent disagreement inside of the Panera.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Zero to 100 real quick.
Okay. Is that it?
That's it for the news.
Sit on the news. Wow. All right. We are at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday. Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. This is Cotto. Cotto, good morning. What's going on?
So just wanted to talk about the Pats game yesterday, and obviously it's very clear what can be done on offense, and we're a very limited offense. But I think another clear thing is that the offensive coordinator and the team don't believe in Brissett to be able to get the ball to the receivers. And I think it's showing. Obviously, there was plenty of times yesterday where receivers were open, and Brissett just wasn't able to make the throw to him. And you know, that's obviously a problem. But I think that one of the biggest problems is that over 17 or 18 games, whatever it is this year, it's going to be very hard to have a run game that is going to be effective. And you know, Ramondre Stevenson and even Gibson to not get hurt if they're going to be getting the ball so much. And I just don't think it's sustainable for a team. And I agree with what Wiggy said earlier that, you know, they could be a potential playoff contender. I'm not saying that they're going to go to the Super Bowl, but they could make the playoffs. They have a good defense. They have a pretty good offense. But I just think that offensive line and that quarterback position is what's going to keep us from winning a lot of games. And it's just going to be very tough to keep it up for 17 to 18 weeks.
Yeah. Thank you. I we talked about that before. Like, can you win games but just basically running the football all season long in the NFL? And I think everybody would say you can't. But I don't know if it's, you know, Cotto says it's confidence in Jacoby Brissett getting the ball to wide receivers. They certainly had confidence going into that game when it came to Jacoby Brissett getting the ball to Hunter Henry. So,
I would say, Greg, the biggest difference is that they're afraid that Jacoby Brissett doesn't have the arm strength to throw guys open. And I feel like the ceiling with Drake May is far higher, but the floor is far lower. And what they're attempting to do is get rid of those 38-3 losses they had last year and manage the game so it's close late and hopefully you can spring a play. But you're right. You can't. That's not a contending strategy. Like, you can't make a season of wins.
Can't May do what Brissett's doing, though? If you're going to throw a 5-yard stick.
Curtis is saying Drake May is more likely to make a dumb mistake, throw the ball, or throw a pick, and you lose the game. Like, he's like
Mac fumbles.
Like Mac Jones.
Right, but isn't the dumb mistake if the quarterback is maybe going through the progression too much and tries to force something in? If you're basically, your game plan is 5-yard stick routes to Hunter Henry and screen routes, can't Drake May do that? And then if you say, okay, we want to take a shot, we're gonna block everything up. And
no, Drake May can do that, but there's no advantage to putting him in the game to do that unless you're gonna let him open up and throw.
Well, that's what I mean. My point. Football. My point is,
but they don't want to do that.
They don't want mistakes.
The point is, if you have this guy and you're not giving him a bunch of reads, you're saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to block everything up, and we're going to have a go route on the side with Jalen Polk, for example, coming off a play action because we ran the football. You don't have reads. You don't have to go through a bunch of different progressions. It's fake it, and then you're taking a shot downfield, whether it's a post, it's a go route. Like, so you make it where your shots downfield with Drake May a very simple, where he only has one guy he has to focus on.
That sounds good in theory, though, but I'm sure that there are other factors that play into it that probably are going to be making it more difficult for Drake May. Look at the other rookies across the league. Look at Bo Nix and Caleb Williams this past weekend.
Right,
like, the mistakes that they made, I'm sure if you're Jerod Mayo, you're worrying that your own rookie getting thrown in there could make the same
but
ones.
But if you're asking Jacoby Brissett to throw screens and 5-yard stick routes, you could ask your rookie quarterback to do that and then say, hey, listen, we're only going to dial up a couple shots that are real simple, where you have max protection, and it's one receiver that you have to focus on. And if that guy's not there, sail it out of bounds or take off and run.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Mayo was on this show a week ago today and said, you know, I don't care who knows it. I tell the guys that I'm going to say it. We're a run-first football team, and we're going to run, and you need to try to stop us.
Right.
So they had some success in, you know, in sort of slowing them down a little bit at times yesterday when it came to that. I mean,
but would you say that they viewed their yesterday's game plan as a failure? I mean, you have the ball with a lead late in the fourth quarter. You get a field goal blocked, and then you let the Seahawks
tie. So probably
tie
not is what you're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, they probably view it as, if we don't have that miscommunication with Duggar and Christian Gonzalez, we run the ball to another win.
No, you know how they view it, because Mayo said it. We got a good offense that can run the football, but we got to be able to push the football downfield. He said that. Those are his words in the passing game. If you,
but Curtis is right. They got to the point. Like, they had a lead in that football game.
Yes.
And then you get the ball in overtime, and you go three and out. I think Gerard Mayo is probably talking about that. Like, it would be nice to be able to go down the field and win that football game when we need it to.
Well, no, I think he's talking about, like, you can only go so far when you're throwing screens and stick routes. And a couple of those Hunter Henry plays were basically off-schedule, broken-down plays where Jacoby Brissett was able to get out of the pocket and find a guy open. It wasn't like you were just this surgical, what Brady used to do, just quick passes down the field, short, dink and dunk. It was a couple broken plays that led to some openings for you in the passing game.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Astro Gerard Mayo about all of those things coming up at 9. And we'll get to talk to Boomer Esiason on everything week 2 in the NFL coming up next.